Good morning from Independence Baptist Church. This is John Alls. We're glad you're able to join us today. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing with you a message preached by Brother Jim Duke. Now, the message asks the question, do you have another year? Now, the first week dealt with a group of people asking Jesus about another group of people that died, and they wanted to know what sin caused it. Now, Jesus followed it up with an example of people dying at the Tower of Siloam. Now, we pointed out several things about this. One of the things is that we don't know when our time to die is, and we do not have a guarantee of tomorrow. Now, the second week dealt with the need of repentance, and we'll also be talking about the need of repentance this week as well. Now, when we talk about do you have another year, we realize now that we are not guaranteed of that. It just drives home even more the importance of repenting of what we are. For those of you that are lost, repenting of what you are and coming to the Lord and accepting Him as your Savior. Now, let's listen in as Brother Jim talks about the Pharisee and the publican and draws a mental picture of what repentance is.
Luke 18, verse number 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. There's that attitude, isn't it? There's the them and the us's. There's the little people and we that are righteous. He prayed with himself, the Lord says, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, even though he used the name of God. The Lord said he prayed with himself. I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I thank You, Father, I'm better than this man. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. There's one man's prayer for you. The Lord saying, praying with himself. Verse number 13, and the publican standing afar off. It seems as if the man just kind of got in the door and went over to the side, didn't he? The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Was this man repentant? Did he see his need? And did he ask the one to help him for that he could not help himself? He was repentant, wasn't he? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse number 14, the Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Because he was empty. He's weak and he knows he's weak. He knows he's guilty and he knows he needs help. And he knows there's only one that can help him. The Lord said this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, when one comes in repentance to the Lord, we will be devoid of ourselves. We will be humble before the Lord. Not a false humility, but a true realization of the way it really is. Facing up to it, that it's that way. That there is no other way, there is no other means, there is no other avenue of salvation, but to bow the knee before the Lord. To bow the knee. As the Lord says over in Joel, He says, don't rend your clothes, rend your heart before me. We're guilty. And it's the truth. And we need the Lord. Romans 3:8. Repentance. The Lord said, unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Romans 3, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we realize that then He died, but see, the Lord knows what the truth is, and He sent His Son to die for sinners like you and me. Because we need Him, and we need to see that. Not hanging on to that little bit of righteousness that we think we have, but that the Lord has worked on our behalf. That the Lord has shown us the truth. The Lord has commended His love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1, let's read Mark chapter 1, verse number 15. The Lord, the message that the Lord came preaching in the beginning of His ministry here on this earth. Mark chapter 1, verse number 15. Verse number 14, and now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. Unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Not this thing of comparing ourselves one with another. Let's read over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick, how the Lord is speaking here to we that are saved, but the application can be made to all. That it's not a thing of like these folks were wanting to do. Boy, they must have really been bad. Lord, what was that all about? That really seems hard and harsh, the death that they died and the tragedy and suddenness of it all. What was wrong there, Lord? What was wrong with those people? And the Lord says, they weren't sinners more than you are. Why? Because men, it's natural for us, even we that are saved, that's the reason it's written to us here in the Scripture. We will compare ourselves amongst ourselves. What does the Scripture say for us if we do so? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Brother and sister in Christ, you compare yourself against another brother and sister in Christ, we got the wrong template that we're comparing ourselves against, aren't we? We compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. And we find ourselves wanting and lacking. But He is the one. He is the guide. He is the template. And yes, we are a witness one to another. And well, we should be. You're here today and you're not saved. You take and compare yourself against somebody else and say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. I'm here this morning. And they are not. It's not it, is it? Jesus Christ is the one that we compare ourselves to. James chapter 2, verse 10, and this is familiar with you, I know. We read it and want to take a look at it. James chapter 2, verse number 10, talking about from the standpoint of being guilty. We are all guilty, and that's what the man on the cross, that's what the publican saw at the temple, that we're guilty. We're guilty as sinners before the Lord. We are guilty, and it's true, and it's right, and there's no excuse for it. But there's no but. There's no reason that is acceptable. There's no excuse. We are guilty, and we need to see it. Here in James chapter 2, verse number 10, the Scripture says, "But whosoever shall keep the whole law, that is the law of God, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." We take the law that the Lord has given in His Scripture and what the Lord gave Moses there in Exodus chapter 20 and what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, a summary of the things that the Lord has given. The Lord Jesus Christ saying that there's two commandments. The fulfilling of the commandments is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy mind. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You go and take Exodus chapter 20 and the Ten Commandments and then all that the Lord gave in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and mentioning in Numbers and all those things, we are guilty. You tripped up in one. But I was young and didn't know. No, you've already missed the point. You're guilty. One. And we can look at the summary in the Ten Commandments, and we know, as the Apostle Paul said, I may not be a murderer, but have I hated someone in my heart? I may not be a fornicator, but have I lusted in my heart? Going all the way on down there, bearing false witness, lying, this and that and the other. But the Apostle Paul said, when I got down to that last one, thou shalt not covet. Said it tore me up. We're guilty, aren't we? And here in James, the Apostle James tells us we are guilty of all of it. We're guilty, and we need to repent. Romans, in Romans it says, now we know that all things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that the world may become guilty before God. We're guilty. We're guilty. And we need to admit that that is the case. Not admit it to me. Not admit it to your folks. Not admit it to your family. But to God. But to God. The one that saves. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, let's read. We're guilty, and we have nothing to pay. What is it that is our hope? How is it that it can be rectified? Brother Jim, if it's so bad, is there a cure? Is there a help? Yes, there is. There is. It's in Jesus Christ. What He was accomplishing when that man there hanging on the cross beside him. As we mentioned there, the thief on the cross, that other malefactor, said, we're guilty. And it's right, and it's just, and it's so, and it should be. But it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he, that is God the Father, hath made him, that is Jesus Christ, hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. It's not a cover-up job when the Lord saves our souls, is it? It's a washing. Amen? They're gone. Our sins are gone. Our debt is paid. The balance at the bottom is zero, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ made the journal entry that says, I'm paying it all. Took him who knew no sin. And me, I'm all about sin, aren't I? That's the way we are. He knew nothing of sin, had no sin in him, has never partaken of any sin. And my filth laid over on him. My sin, guilt, and iniquity laid on him. And not some substandard righteousness that'll be good enough. What's it say? The righteousness of God that it says in the day of the of our judgment, even the children of God, that everything that is wood, hay, and stubble will be burned away, but our salvation and what He's made us to be in Jesus Christ will be able to endure even the judgment of the saints. You look into that. That's interesting. All the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned away. But because of salvation in the Lord, we will stand and be able to endure the judgment that we have as His children. It'll be a sad day. But it's not unto our doom like it will be with those that have no hope. Because they have not Jesus Christ. Therefore they have no hope. They're guilty. With nothing to pay. And they'll be given a body fitted for eternal destruction. Fitted for eternal. Repent. The Lord says, ye all shall also likewise perish. A terrible and eternal. Repent. Repent.
You know, it's natural to always think that it'll be the other person that doesn't live very long, or the other person that will get sick. You know, but the truth of it is we just don't know when our time is. You know, and that person that dies in a car wreck, I guarantee you they felt the same way that you do today, and that they felt that it would always be somebody else, and they didn't think about it being them. You know, but we are not guaranteed of tomorrow. And if you haven't repented of your sins and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you don't want to put that off. You don't want to think about it. Oh, you don't want to think, well, I'll worry about that later. I'll worry about that later, because we do not have a guarantee of tomorrow. Truth be known, we don't have a guarantee of the rest of today. You know, and the Bible talks about life as but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, and if you have any questions about salvation or about Independence Baptist Church or any of the other messages you've heard from us, you can write to us at P.O. Box 70, Forestdale, Missouri, 63348, or you can also call us at 636-673-2180. Now, we do encourage you to join us for services today and also on Wednesday night. Today's service will start at 10 a.m. with Sunday school. Morning worship services will start at 11, and afternoon services will start at 4:30. Our Wednesday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. We'd also like to take this opportunity to invite you to our annual Bible Institute, which will be starting on the evening of February the 4th and will continue until the evening of February the 8th. Now, Monday, February the 4th, we'll only have two speakers in the evening. However, for the rest of the week, there will be two preachers in the morning and an additional two preachers in the afternoon or in the evening. Now, the morning services will be starting at 10 a.m., and the afternoon services will be starting at 7 p.m. We also will be having a meal after the morning services and a meal before the evening services, which you're also more than welcome to attend. Now, we are located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, and we would encourage you to drop by as many of these services as you can. We do want to thank you again for listening, and don't forget to listen in at 8 a.m. next Sunday morning for the final message dealing with this question, of Do You Have Another Year?